This is Life Zero, Closer to Vine, with me, Laura Lee, Ben Durbin, John Flowers, and John Foster.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. I still like the idea of chips, though, and you get a certain amount of time, you know, to give people the answer
this
questions.
This is the last thing.
Single thing I come up with is like that, isn't it? It's always like a give and take barter system.
So this is the last thing I want to say, and then we can go on. And that is that it's really to you to shields up your time. Like, if you don't want to help somebody, it's perfectly okay to say, I don't know. You know, you can either play dumb or you can go, no, I don't have time. Or I can give you a link. You know, you can offer a no, a I don't have time. Or, you know, here I can send you on your way to salvation.
I tell people to Google stuff all the time. Google this. And I give them an exact phrase. Like, Google this.
This?
Yes.
Have you ever Googled this?
I have not.
Or Google that.
Yeah. What if you Google Google? Has anybody tried that lately?
I have not done
that. I think the universe implodes.
Pretty much. Okay.
So, John, you and I had a conversation where you said, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said that the rules were interesting because the Life Zero rules, because you didn't really write them down. It was just kind of the way that you lived your life.
Right.
And it's fascinating to me because I have a lot of people come up to me and they're like, oh, how do you live by these rules? You know, how do you live by these rules? And I thought about it a lot, and I thought about what we talked about, and I realized the lifestyle that I had informed the rules. I kind of created the rules to retrofit the lifestyle. I didn't really write the rules and then go, okay, that's the lifestyle I'm going to have. Right, the rules came second. They were a secondary thing.
Right. Well, this goes back to what you and I were talking about, in that I don't have a list in my pocket. I didn't memorize them, to be sure. It's just the way I am. Right. I don't. You know, the idea of no debt. Well, that's on purpose. You know, that took years and years to get to, but. That happened over a period of time. It's not something that I think about anymore. It's just the way that it is. The idea of something comes in and something goes out, that's just another thing. It's like, why do I want things? Why do I want the clutter? Why do I want the trophy of books or tapes or CDs or DVDs? You know, this is just, it doesn't do any good to have this monster collection of these, I don't know, stuff that no one's ever going to read again or use again.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had several people write into us and say and ask us questions like, how do you live this life? Or I actually, you know, what's really funny is my favorite comments, and we've only had this a couple of times, so I still do believe in the good in humanity. We've had a couple of people write in and say, stop bragging.
Stop being...
Somebody wrote in and called me an arrogant ass. Well, because they were saying, like, basically I'm trying to impose my will on others.
You don't have to do that.
No, like, John, I'm going out to each and every person across the globe, and I'm forcing them to listen to Life Zero. I'm imposing my will on them.
Yeah,
you must listen, and I'm going to check back up on you. And if you're not following the rules, then I'm going to make you listen some more.
Well, like we already talked about once, the idea that the no debt can be broken in the case of you want to buy a house. You know, that becomes the form in which you want to live.
Right.
And you've decided that you want to have kids and a family and a dog and all the things that go with that. Well, that's one of the more affordable ways to have that as a feature in your life.
So yeah, these aren't really rules though, right? We talked about how they're more rules of thumb. I mean, you can certainly
guidelines
modify them to suit your own needs. Although I do feel vindicated a little bit recently with the current economic and housing crisis when I say no debt and a house does count. Maybe I am an arrogant ass. I told you so, John Foster.
I don't have a house.
Ben Durbin, I told you so. No, wait, I didn't.
It's San Francisco real estate is definitely not the rest of the country when it comes to depreciation. But yes, I will shed a tear for my fellows.
So you walk around and you just sort of live this life,
yeah.
This lifestyle. How far away, Laura Lee, you're probably the most like the rest of the world and the least like the anomaly that is, you know.
The three of us.
Well, and, you know, certainly me. I mean, how realistic do you think that it is to say these rules are rules of thumb, guidelines, and, you know, you can modify them a little bit, but it's easy enough to live this way. Do you think that's realistic?
Oh, I do. I mean, because, you know, I modified in the way, like, the other day I bought a new pair of shoes and something needed to go out, so I ate a banana. It worked for me. The banana went out of my house and a pair of shoes came in. You know, it's easy enough.
So there you go. Listen up, folks. The Life Zero is all about creativity, creative
exactly.
problem solving.
Wow.
Exactly.
And that may be the funniest thing I've ever heard on
YouTube. I did my part, you know. I have debt. I am working toward paying it off, but it's student loan debt. And, you know, as we've talked about before, I wanted to go to college. I couldn't do it without student loans. So I went ahead and chose to take on that debt. And, you know, because it says to choose your surroundings and choose your friends and choose how you want to live. I wanted to have the college experience. I wanted Sure. to go and be in that environment. And so I chose to take on debt.
A lot of people in this area and in Seattle choose to audit classes or to just drop in on college, which they allow pretty openly in California and Seattle.
But then you don't get the cool piece of paper at the end.
I believe the Indigo Girls summed it up best when they said, I spent 4 years prostrate to a higher mind, got my paper, and I was free. And that's all I will say about that.
I always thought that was to the hive mind, prostate to the hive mind. Apparently I got the lyric wrong.
Yeah, you thought it was, I spent 4 years as a prostitute to the hive mind?
Yes.
Damn it, maybe I'm wrong.
It's okay,
maybe I should look
it
up.
I'm horrible with lyrics. There's what is that girl's name? I can't stand Sheryl Crow. I cannot understand a thing that woman says. She makes no sense. Even when she talks, not just singing. I mean, just, it's like, the mouth's what moving and noises coming out.
What
but
part of all I want to do is have some fun?
Okay, I can understand
that
one.
Subtext to that particular one.
But, yeah. It just, I mean, I don't know. She makes no sense to me. It's and she's annoying, so, you know, that probably doesn't help. But
I would just like to point out that the views expressed by Laura Lee are not necessarily the views of anyone else on this podcast.
Agree. Now we got Sheryl Crow's people on our ass.
Well, what about the Go-Go's? Did you hear?
I personally love
our pets
Sheryl
are seals.
Crow,
so. That's our lips are sealed.
No, our pets are seals.
I can understand.
Our pets are seals. Doesn't matter what they say.
No, I can understand them. I can understand Go-Go Girl.
What about AC/DC?
I don't think
knees,
I've ever tried.
Dirty Knees and the Thunder Chief.
Oh, you know what? I know what song you're talking about, but I honestly, I've heard it maybe once or twice in a movie, wow. And I've no.
And it was a while ago, and I think, but I can't swear to it, that it was written by Ray Bradbury.
What? Oh, that's the author I didn't know. God, I'll never hear the end of that, will I?
Not until you read the works of the man.
I'm not going to. I don't like that category or what do you call it? The
genre
of book.
Genre?
Category.
I don't like it.
Everything is a television show. I don't like that category.
Well, Ray Bradbury's Mystery Theater, or he was it Mystery Theater?
I don't like
They did
that.
A show. He had a show that they adapted a whole ton
is
of
stories.
Is it
Mystery Theater Science? The ones with the...
No, not the robots.
Oh, I love that. That was one of my favorites.
This is proof Tom Servo and Crow. If you jump far enough off the rails, you may indeed land on a completely different set of rails.
Nice.
Exactly. There may be three
There's
rails.
Hope. Yeah.
So I would like to talk about a little bit about the idea of getting rid of physical media, getting rid of stuff. We had a listener write in. We've had a lot of comments, and we certainly appreciate them all. But we had Stephen. Stephen, I won't give your last name because you didn't say I could. But we had Stephen write in and say that he's been listening to Life Zero for a while and he's continuing to struggle. But one of the things that he did is he is trying to get rid of all of his plastic media, which, as you know, I'm a huge advocate of getting rid of all the plastic media. I would actually like to see us live in a world where we don't have to consume a lot of these things. But he talks about how he's basically ripped or copied all of his DVDs and CDs, but now he doesn't know what to do with them. And he actually is suggesting that there's a place called Rasputin or Amoeba that purchased these things, that he actually go there and...
Or eBay.
Yeah, he specifically suggested Rasputin. But so he should say, I don't know what to do with these. And I think we should address that because that's actually a pretty significant issue for a lot of reasons. One is because you can't really just do it that way. I mean, there are legal issues around it.
Well, in the case of CDs, which is music, it's been ruled that music falls under fair use. So as long as you own the physical media, you can put it onto another type of media that will play that those bits.
Right.
And that.
But what about things that I don't purchase as physical?
Well, no.
Like I buy a song on iTunes.
Well, then you've purchased it. You have a license.
I don't have a physical.
Well, there's bits in the world that say that you have the right to listen to that piece of music anytime you want.
Right. In the case of iTunes, they give you 5 machines.
Right.
And I've noticed an unlimited number of iPods. You could sync an unlimited number of iPods to a single machine.
Yeah.
Like if you own 20 iPods, there's no limit to which, you know, to how you can.
Right. Those iPods are all queued to that computer.
If you have
so
iTunes.
There's
yeah.
no, you know, the, it's not really a great yeah. transferable medium. Like, for example, I could give Ben a mixtape that's based on my iPod or that's on an iPod. But once Ben plugs that into his Mac or his Windows machine, it's going to get blasted and become Ben's mixtape iPod.
Mm-hmm. Ben's awesome mixtape iPod, by the way.
You forgot really.
Really awesome.
Mega super
Rad.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
the thing is that as long as you own the key here is that as long as you own the physical piece of plastic or in this case or vinyl or cassette
or the rights to the music.
Or the rights to the music. And there's other ways to show that you actually own that. But the minute that I give my disc to Ben, I've given up all of my rights to that physical medium.
Right.
And any copies you made.
And any copies that I made are suddenly – I don't have the rights to because I can't prove that I have rights to that because I don't have the physical medium.
Receipt.
Nope. Doesn't work. Got to have the real disc.
Yeah, the real disc or the electronic medium,
receipt,
you know,
yeah.
the receipt.
That's crap.
Well, here's the problem, and this is the problem, Laralee. This is why it's so hard to give up the plastic stuff and why I wish the world were a little bit different. So DVDs are even worse.
Yeah, DVDs.
If I make a copy of a DVD, first of all, I'm violating the law by copying the DVD in the first place. Right?
Right.
Which is a bummer.
And part of the reason for that is that because the motion picture copyright is such that the person who's watching it doesn't have rights to it in any other way but for their personal enjoyment by watching it. They can't copy it. They can't make another version of it. They can't change it. They can't edit it. They can't take screenshots of it. The only thing that they can do is sell it to somebody else, the physical medium, in whole, or give it to somebody else in
right.
whole. And the recipient does not get any other rights other than to watch the film or TV show whenever they want to watch it.
So if you were to smoke a DVD, you would actually be violating the law?
Yeah, because you're altering.
I would love to go to jail for smoking a DVD.
Because you're altering the format.
Right, right. Yeah.
I think that Steven should give his music or go to Amoeba or wherever and give his music away, but he shouldn't send an email of his intentions to do it first. He should just go do it. I mean, seriously, it's so ridiculous. Like, the copyright people have way bigger things on their plates.
Well, this is the other issue. Let's
they
say
do.
That
well, music is not so much an issue, especially in the case that we're talking about. It's highly unlikely that if you have a music collection of 20 CDs and you copy them and then you sell the original media, it's highly unlikely that you're going to go to jail for that. I mean, that's a boondoggle.
Yeah, obviously.
But let's just,
however, DVDs are a totally different story. And what I mean by that is people will come after you if there's any even a whiff that you've copied one DVD and sold it, if they hear about it, because people are, you know, there are a lot of lawyers who spend a tremendous amount of time making sure that, partially because copying the DVD is a violation of the DMCA and a series of other laws.
We should be like Germany.
The license of the
the license itself as well. Yeah,
the license itself.
So that's a bummer. So the idea, so here's the problem with the world that we live in. Getting rid of plastic is tough. And a big reason
don't buy it in the first place.
Well, so here's the rub for me on that. Night Watch and Day Watch just came out on Blu-ray.
And you bought it.
And I bought it. And I bought it for two reasons. One is because it has behind-the-scenes commentary. And the second reason is because it's actually in high def. I can watch it at, you know, really great resolution with really great audio. There's no other way to get that right now. And as near as I can tell, copying Blu-ray is not worth it. I mean, it's
50 gig.
Yeah, plus which it's difficult and all this other stuff. And where are you going to play it anyway? And, you know, I mean, it's just this craziness. And
I guess the other question is, how many times can you watch something?
Well, for me, because of Night Watch and Day Watch, I could watch them 20 times.
Okay.
Easily, but I'm studying.
You're studying the film. Okay. If you're just watching a film for the entertainment of watching the film, you're going to probably watch it once.
Right.
Maybe twice. I don't know. If you're if you're 3 years old, you're going
to
watch it.
Netflix.
Yeah. Infinity plus one.
Yeah, Netflix. Then you can have it come back to you whenever you want. You watch something, send it back. You know, a month later, you're like, I want to see it again. Put it at the top of your list. It's the perfect solution.
And that's sort of what I'm advocating, is I'm advocating that you don't copy your DVDs for your personal use. What you do is you sell them, use that money to get a Netflix subscription, and
forever.
Use a combination of Netflix and a combination of, you know, iTunes or Amazon or Blockbuster or your other, you know, favorite way of renting movies. And you use that because unless you're doing what I'm doing with Night Watch and Day Watch, which is just studying the way the film was made, there's really no reason to own the film, right? I mean, is there really a reason?
No.
I mean, you can go to Blockbuster and literally, or if it's a movie you just can't get anywhere else, right?
Magic.
You can make requests at Blockbuster. I really want to see this film. They'll order that film. Like, they'll borrow it from another store or whatever for you.
Like,
right.
I've done that before.
They stare at you blankly while chewing gum when you make a request like that.
Oh, yeah. I actually haven't been to a Blockbuster here. I've only been to them at home.
Zombie strippers ain't out, hon. Not the fourth one. Not yet.
Wow. You know, zombie strippers has come up twice today.
Oh, were you guys talking about it earlier?
We talked about it on Twin. John brought it up. I did not bring it up.
Have you seen Zombie Strippers?
No, I've seen the trailer. It's awesome.
Well, the movie was like an extension of the trailer, basically.
I don't have to see the movie. I've already seen it in the trailer. It's, you know, it's like...
Oh, no,
it was
there's
like
a twist at the end.
It's like watching Grindhouse. I mean, Grindhouse is perfect as the trailer. And then
oh, you know what?
Wasn't screwed up enough as the real film.
No, only one of the... It was three? Was it three or two separate stories?
Two separate stories.
Two. Only one of them. I only liked one of them. The other one I didn't like.
The first one or the second one?
I don't remember.
Probably
just remember liking
one
of them.
Because the first one feels like a Grindhouse.
My guess is that she liked the first one and didn't like Death Proof where they were driving the car around.
Yep.
That's my guess.
The second one was the Stunt Girls.
Yeah,
I liked that one.
Oh, you
didn't like the other one.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I liked the Stunt Girls. I didn't like the girl who sleeps with everyone with the gun as her leg. I didn't like that.
It's actually weird because that movie's almost three films because there's the beginning of Death Proof, which is almost a film in itself.
Yeah.
All right.
Well. Anyway.
Once again, you go so far off the rails. You're on separate rails. You're on upside down rails, sliding awkwardly into the abyss.
So here's the thing. Get rid of your DVD collection. Off it while it still has value. Yep. Keep the things that are really things that you are in love with or sentimental about or know that you'll never be able to find another copy of that again. But, you know, Married with Honey, I Shrunk the Dog 7, that's got to go.
But you will never be able to find a copy of that ever again. I've never even heard of that movie.
His point is that it's so, like, mind-numbing, mind-candy, easy to find, whatever, that there's no point in keeping something
right.
like
Honey,
that.
Honey, I Shrunk the Dog 7? Like, sorry, that's everywhere.
It's a fake movie that he made up that doesn't really exist.
That makes sense.
Music, I'm torn about because the problem is that it's – if you got entrapped, let's say that you bragged to your user group that you had a server that had 7 terabytes of stuff on it and you put all of your music on it. And somebody was a busybody and turned you into the RIAA, and they came knocking, and they said, "Hey, we want to check out your server." And you know,
John, the response is, "What server?" And they're and they look at you, you know, and you stand here, and if it's at your home, you say something along the lines of, "I have a lot of friends who know a lot about computers. One of the things in here might be a server. Do you know what it looks like so you could find it?" And then you just play that out all the way through.
All right. Well, this is what I was going to say. Actually, before you were going to say that, it's like, "Well, sir, what, you don't have any rights in my home. You'll have to go away and come back with the proper forms and things, and then I might help you." But even then, it's about protecting what rights you have. And if you don't have the backup, if you don't have the proof of what that is, the fines for this are incredibly big. And the possibilities of financial ruin and jail and all the other stuff that goes with that, I don't know that it's worth giving up the plastic yet.
Well, here's my perspective on it. You have, let's say, 50 CDs with a lot of music on it. How many of those songs do you actually want? And how many of those songs do you actually want to keep? It, to me, would be easier to sell those at Rasputin or wherever, and then go to Amazon and download the, you know, DRM-free copy at Amazon of just the music that you want. And now you don't have anything, you know, you don't have any physical media. And then you're legal as well, because the real issue here, and this is always the case when things change, it's like when, you know, when everyone starts driving a hybrid or a, you know, fuel cell car or you know, things like that change, it's always the case that the stuff that you had, the massive collection of crap that you had, you're going to have to replace. And so what I'm advocating is stop collecting those massive, you know, boxes full of stuff that you know are going to be outdated soon. You know, there's a finite amount of things that you need in your life, most of which can be obtained electronically, some of which can't, you know, but be smart about it.
Well, and the digital equivalent of that would be to buy non-DRM'd versions when you're buying the digital ones, because that's the digital equivalent of making you go from tape to CD or CD.
That's right.
It's some other format down the road. You don't want that locked into something. But if you buy through Amazon or one of these places that does the unlocked versions of it, then yeah, you have a digital copy, an illegal digital copy.
And it's not going to be any better than the version that was on the CD, or any worse, and it's going to be sustainable.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you could use your iTunes play count stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to figure out what you're really listening to, you know, look at the library, and anything that has a zero play count and has been just sitting there forever, that'd be the stuff to get rid of at Rasputin's first, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Or actually listen to it and it's like, oh, this is actually really catchy.
Or rediscover it. Yeah, right. So it's got a good beat.
So I have a question for you, Laura Lee. If you go out and buy a pair of earrings and then you come home and eat a grape, is that acceptable to you as a transference of?
I would need to eat two grapes if there were two earrings.
You buy the earrings and you open the window and push 2 cubic feet of air out the window.
Exhale twice.
Yeah, right.
Exhale twice.
No, I actually have not a large jewelry box. So when I do buy jewelry, I do tend to get rid of older jewelry.
Yeah.
Because I'm not willing to buy another jewelry box to hold jewelry. And I don't really wear a lot of jewelry. So.
Yeah.
Gosh, that one's, this, you know, diamond is 1 billion years old. Time to get rid of it.
Yeah, I just went through my closet and got rid of several things. I mean, quite a few pieces of clothing. And then I was looking in my closet today and I was thinking, wow, there's a lot more I'd like to get rid of. And I'm going through this process where I'm realizing one of the things we've talked about in a previous show, which is this notion of like, I think we have so many things that we just don't need. And I wish that I could do a kind of Vulcan mind meld with people and explain to them from my perspective why the idea of owning, you know, 3 bookcases full of CDs is just it's just an untenable idea, right? It's like it's information that you're just going to, it's a bulky set of content that you're just going to have to carry around. There's just no point in it. It is in perfect clarity to me. I mean, I had no problem getting rid of just a tremendous amount of my DVDs and things like that because I just realized it was something that was old and not going
to The magic
survive.
Of eBay allows you to get practically anything. You know, so, you know, if you have that, if there's that long lost toy that your mom sold at the garage sale, you can get it back for $4.
There's no way I can get my bunny on eBay. There's no way.
Have you looked for your bunny on eBay?
Oh, I still have my bunny, and I will never get rid of my bunny because I know for a fact that bunny is unfindable.
No, but you know where bunny is, so bunny is findable, not unfindable.
But that's my point is that you seriously cannot find a lot of things.
Aren't you supposed to get rid of past loves? Isn't that one of the things? Isn't that one of the
past loves?
Ex-lover items.
Ex-lover
get lost.
Items have to be gone.
Well, bunny was a childhood toy.
Oh, I see.
So she's managed to.
I resent your implications, John Foster.
Yeah. Bunny is a stuffed animal given to me at a very young age that is very, very special to me. Bunny does not need a bath. Bunny is fine. Bunny was bathed. My mother bathed Bunny like 1.5 years ago. Bunny's fine. Because every time you bathe Bunny, you have to sew Bunny back together. And Bunny's fine.
Bunny needs to go under plastic.
No, Bunny is fine.
Plexiglass.
Bunny sleeps with me. So.
Plexiglass. Really?
Yeah.
How does Bunny stay together every night? You must not have nightmares.
I don't know.
Bunny is. Bunny's looking kind of rough, John.
Bunny is not. Bunny is fine.
How old are you?
Bunny is.
It's velveteen rabbit sort of stage of life. Yeah.
Bunny has a once proud heritage that is long lost.
You know, there's a really cool thing, and this is you can find this on Google Video, and it's Adam Savage of MythBusters, and he's talking about these projects that he was involved in. One of them was to make a dodo skeleton, because there's no complete dodo skeleton. Mm. So he found the reference material and the photos and the whole thing, and he was able to fashion this dodo out of photographs.
How big would a dodo be?
About this tall.
Were they really that big?
Yeah, they're big
birds.
Are you
kidding?
Yeah, no, they're
not. That's a huge bird.
Yeah, and it doesn't fly.
Let the record show that John is holding his hand about 3 to 3.5 feet above the floor.
That's a big bird.
Yeah, probably tasty too, which is why there's none of them left.
I thought they all died by like falling off stuff because one of
those
them
are lemmings.
Go. That's right.
Not birds. Lemmings.
Well, I just played the Lemmings game on my PlayStation.
That's
for
a
the
fun
first
game.
Time.
Old school. I mean, when I was 12 or 13, I played the hell out of that game.
So
I was interested to see.
Part two of this is that he made a Maltese Falcon from photographs, and his goal was to make the full-size one out of lead. So he had to learn how to sculpt and learn how to build, and then found somebody who would do a casting for him of it. And long story short, the bird was not perfect when it came out. But he did, because he did the project, he was able to find a guy who had a replica that he was able to then go and laser scan to make a perfect mold. All right, so that's the thing. Anyway, what I'm suggesting is watch this video and you too can make the version 2 bunny. Of Bunny.
You could clone Bunny. Missing ear and all.
Out of metal, though, that's useless to me. I sleep with Bunny, I'd hurt not myself. Out
of metal, you missed the point of the story, is that you could sculpt a new Bunny just by making it the passionate project.
I couldn't find the materials and the exact buttons.
What are you talking about? You live in San Francisco where it's fabric central. There's more fashion that's developed here than practically anywhere in the world. There's so many fabric stores that are here. You could probably take Bunny on a shopping trip and find Bunny fabric.
You could probably take Bunny to one of these little craft stores and have them replicate Bunny with the exact cloth and everything.
Yeah, no, I see.
I think Bunny could have a brother, so that when Bunny falls apart, I thought pets needed a friend. Bunny's alone. Bunny has no other Bunny.
No, Bunny.
You could have another Bunny with the opposite ear missing.
Bunny has the Starbucks bear, and Bunny has.
You could pay someone to distress the new Bunny so that the old Bunny doesn't get upset that new Bunny's got all the new materials and nice stitching and everything. You could distress it down to the current Bunny state.
No. Ever since I saw Toy Story, though, I feel bad when Bunny gets left, or like I knock Bunny off the bed on accident or something. I know it's totally weird because
there's no Bunny in Toy Story.
No, but it made me think, you know, does Bunny have feelings? Does Bunny know?
There's the army men. Those guys were cool.
And
I never had army men.
There are no rails.
Where we're going, there are no roads. The Maine Wizard died. He wasn't supposed to die.
Which Maine Wizard was
the
that?
The wizard that was the white-haired Dumbledore.
Oh, that, okay, yeah. The new actor, it's Dorr. But the new actor is much better.
It's
so,
Stephen Dorff's father, Dumbledore.
Stumble home.
Do you know what my favorite comment, and then we'll get to the show. My favorite comment in the last, like, since I can remember, it was John Gruber tweeted today and said, "Who would have ever thought that web blogger would be a more lasting occupation than Lehman Brothers investment banker?"
Ooh.
I thought that
Lehman Brothers investment banking outdone by web blogger.